Well, buckle in, everybody.
Because it's about to get tedious.
Welcome back to another episode of Whiskey on Sunday. I am Allie.
I am Seth.
And we have not talked since...
over a month.
Yeah, I've missed the dickens out of you.
I've missed you bunches.
Well, I mean, mine is better, but...
Well, yeah, but mine doesn't have any innuendo that can be made by immature people who act like they're 13.
Like Seth?
Like me.
Mm-hmm.
Since...
I was thinking Charles Dickens.
Oh.
I missed the Charles Dickens out of you.
He was kind of a jerk in real life, though.
Oh, come on, it was the best of times.
It was the bestest of times.
Anyways.
It was
well,
the besties of times.
Well, a lot has happened.
Yes.
Since we have last spoken.
You had a visit.
And you went to Morrissey.
Yes.
So let's talk about yours first, because Morrissey was a one-day thing, and my parents were here for 2 weeks.
We went to see Morrissey. I had bought tickets for myself and Vicky, my wife. I bought a ticket for our friend Tina, who was last minute unable to go. So I put out a Facebook first come first serve free ticket, and my friend Shannon, who I hadn't actually seen in years, was able to go because she was gonna go and she couldn't afford it because they had a car blow up, and she was able to go and we got to hang out and it was fun.
That's awesome.
My cousin and her husband came, and they brought a bunch of their friends that were going too. So we just had a big buffet dinner at our house before, since it was in Waterbury. So we had everyone come here and then eat and then pregame and then carpool out to the palace.
I didn't even know that there was a venue in Waterbury.
Turns out there is a gorgeous venue in Waterbury. It is a like this old gilded theater. It's amazing.
Like the Bushnell or...
It's smaller but swankier than the Bushnell.
I like it.
It's pretty awesome.
How many people could fit in it?
2,500, I think.
Oh, that's a small venue.
Maybe
for Morrissey.
It was pretty cool because it was full. We got to see him. There was an X sighting.
The dreaded X?
Yeah, I kept on forgetting because we have some mutual friends who were like, oh yeah, she's totally going to be at that show. And I kept on forgetting that people had told me that because I never think of her.
That's always a good thing, though. Because you don't want an X that is constantly, like, mulling around your brain pan.
Right. Well, unfortunately, I am not that person in her life because she is still talking about me to people.
Well, to be fair, you did leave her.
Yeah, but that was 6 years ago.
That is also true. I never actually met her.
If that divorce was a baby, it would be in first grade by now.
Some people get on with their lives. Some people carry a grudge. You can't really...
Yeah.
Did she bring anything up, or did you run into her, or...
She did not run into me. I saw her coming in. She and the friend who doesn't care for me either. And,
is that the one you slept with?
Yeah, that's the one.
Okay.
That's the one. Her maid of honor. That one that I slept with. But neither, yeah, they both sort of looked at me and did the super fast glare, then ignore. So it's like,
You know, honestly, that's the best reaction that you can get from somebody that's harboring such a grudge. Because she could have started crying and pointing at you.
Yes, I'm one part Nazi war criminal, one part invisible when it comes to those two.
It's a very strange Voltron-like picture. So, you got there, you're walking around. Where were your seats?
We were in an upper mezzanine. They weren't really close to the theater, but they were... They were good, because it was a small enough venue, they were really good seats. We were able to recognize who was on the stage, which sometimes with big shows you can't.
Right.
And he played so much stuff, it was hard to, like, everyone, I was saying when we were leaving, like, well, you know, there's a lot of songs he that we wanted to hear, but we didn't hear. But every song that he did play, we did want to hear.
You
And I
didn't
think,
want to hear?
no, every, like, everyone had songs like, oh, I wish he'd played blah, blah, blah. But he has so much stuff that there, he didn't play any songs that you'd be like, oh, this song? Really? Come on. Why are they playing all the Sammy Hagar stuff? That doesn't make any sense.
I was like, was he did an album with Sammy Hagar? No. I'm gonna say no.
No, he did not.
Okay. You enjoyed the concert?
I did. It was a blast. It was really good. We had a lot of fun with my friends. I ran into a lot of people there. The guy who did my tattoo, my last the Bruins tattoo.
Yep.
He was there. There's just a lot of people there that I hadn't seen in a while. And Marissa, who came with us, said, you know, I think this is the one concert I've been to that had the most people who look exactly like the performer.
Men and women?
Yes, yeah, they all had that same little haircut, and they all seemed to be dressed the same way.
I would have gone with you. I totally would have gone with you, but I don't live nearby
Anywhere near
anymore.
me, and that's too bad because it was super fun. He did get super preachy when it came to his Meat is Murder song, where he explains to us how meat is murder. But
How do people not know that? I mean, it's tasty murder.
he's like, when I was driving in here today, and I did drive. Yes, I drove. It's like, okay, you drove. Good job. Apparently, he drove by every wing place in Waterbury, which being a decaying urban center, it's full of wing places. Because no one in this town can really afford the rest of the chicken. All we can afford are wings. No, but we figured out from the highway there was the Buffalo Wild Wing and then Wings Express. And like, do people actually eat wings? It's wing this, wing that, wing, 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 wing. Yes, we eat wings. And every other part. Sorry, Morrissey. And then he showed these, this during Meat is Murder, he was showing this slaughterhouse video. We're like, oh, come on. Seriously, guy? We almost had to stop at McDonald's on the way home.
If he feels that passionate about it, I guess that,
Yes.
I mean, it's justifiable douchebaggery.
Well,
Stop touching the fucking microphone.
you have to be prepared for a certain amount of douchebaggery that comes with
It's Morrissey.
Morrissey. Yeah. But it was worth it. It was awesome. It was so awesome.
Didn't he go to Jersey like right after?
I think it was Jersey and New York. Yeah, because it started in Boston. We were the second day on the tour. So we had Boston, then Waterbury, then Jersey and New York and such.
Yeah, because my friend went to the Jersey show. So, yeah, I kind of figured that there is always going to be a level of preachiness with a Morrissey show.
Right, you'd be disappointed if there wasn't. Because you're like,
Yeah.
oh, you Morrissey. Har-har.
It's going to be really sad when he gets Alzheimer's. But he might not. I
He might
mean,
not.
he stopped eating meat.
Right.
And maybe that's the cause of Alzheimer's.
He looks great.
Does he?
Oh yeah.
Does he still have the salt and pepper hair, or?
Yeah, he's got that salt. He looks a lot like my uncle. So much that my cousin, because my uncle was in on Facebook's push posted a picture of the train station in Springfield, Mass.
Right.
And Enfield, he showed him, I guess from the train, he showed a picture of Enfield. So we're not sure what he was like. He was doing something in Central Mass for some for work. I guess he flew into and then took the train. But he happened to be in Southern New England right when Morrissey was playing dates. So my cousin posted a picture of Morrissey and goes, now we know it's true. Uncle Andy is Morrissey. And I
That's.
thought, why did we get such shitty seats then? We should have been eating kale chips with him backstage.
Oh, man. Oh, I'm glad that you had fun, though.
It was
I mean,
great.
it sucks that T wasn't able to go, but at least
But
you had somebody that grabbed the ticket and you got to see Shannon.
Yeah, and she's gonna start coming to the Stitch and Bitches.
Awesome.
It's she and Vicky hit it off.
Yay! It's good when your friends, when your old friends and your new friends get together and get along.
Yeah, so parents came over.
They totally did. They arrived at the end of September and they stayed for 2 weeks. At that point, I was still working at the printing company
Right.
and I ended up getting home. And then my parents stopped at a grocery store. They brought a bunch of my stuff with them. Like they were able to check 2 bags each. So they brought 2 of my suitcases that I left there, and they jam-packed the suitcase so tight that they could fit their small LCD TV for my bedroom, which was pretty awesome. So
It
I got
showed
a
up in one piece.
yeah,
Wow.
it works great. It's kind of small, but it was a free TV. That was awesome.
Net free TVs are never small. They're much bigger than the one you paid for, always.
Exactly. So they brought the TV. They showed up, and you know how I had been like furiously trying to drink all of the alcohol so that my parents didn't think that I had a drinking problem? My dad shows up with 6 bottles of wine, 2 of which are Magnums, a sixer of beer and a bunch of groceries, which was awesome.
Now, I had questioned the whole validity of this drink all the booze before your parents show up so they don't think that you're a drinker. Because I thought that full bottles of booze would mean you were stocking up to entertain your parents for 2 weeks.
That would have made more sense.
But then you wouldn't have had the excuse to get fucked up every night for a week.
That is pretty much where I'm coming from. So they showed up, and then the entire time that they were here, I had to work, which I wasn't really complaining about because I needed to pay bills, and I got to spend evenings with my parents. So I brought them to McMiniman's. McMiniman's is,
Is that the brew pubby place?
yeah, yep, they're the one near where I live has a whiskey distillery.
Right. I looked them up on the interwebs.
So when you come and visit, we will totally go to that one and have some whiskey. And we'll make sure it's on a Sunday.
Oh, snap. And we'll bring the little pocket recorder and get crowd noises and a totally unintelligible podcast.
I love those.
As opposed to the clear audio of this one, which is still unlistenable, but that's mostly my fault.
It's, you know what? Shut up. We have more people listen to this than I thought.
Really?
I have no idea, really.
I
I'm
don't.
assuming.
I assume that it's just you and me, and I only listen to half of it.
I listen to the whole thing.
No, I listen to the parts that you say.
Aww. So, my parents came, showed them McMiniman's. They loved it to the point where I was like, okay, well, I'll take you to Kennedy School so you could see how that is. They loved that one even more. And then we went to The Rock, which is a pizza place. The only pizza place that is originally from the West Coast that does pizza right.
Does pizza as you want the pizza. You want a thin crust Neapolitan style pizza
Yeah, and I
with
don't need sweet sauce.
no sugar in the sauce. What the fuck is wrong with those people?
Exactly. McMiniman's does it wrong. Makes me
But
angry.
no one goes to a whiskey distillery to eat pizza. But why would you do it? You know, you can either make good pizza or
Or
good
not. Don't make
whiskey.
any. Just stop. Don't make
But
pizza at all.
focus on the whiskey. Leave the
Yeah,
pizza to other
because one
people.
of their whiskeys is good. I did a flight and only liked one of them.
Ah.
The other two tasted like turpentine and sadness.
So, Thursdays.
So after that, my parents apparently did a bunch of shit that I haven't done. They went to.
Well, they did have you.
They did a bunch of shit that I haven't done in
In
Portland.
Portland.
There we go. Well, I took them into Saturday Market. Loved it. Apparently, there is a wine place in Saturday Market And they had cranberry orange wine, which I need to actually get.
Fuck a monkey. Cranberry orange wine.
Mm-hmm.
I'm down.
Yeah.
I'm down. I'm down.
If I can figure out how much it would cost to ship you a bottle, that might be your Christmas present. Or your Thanksgiving present.
We don't give presents on Thanksgiving.
I know. I don't understand how gifts work.
I don't know how the giftings to work in your country.
Mm-hmm. So my dad
here
got
is your Arbor Day present. I hope you like television.
We went to Saturday Market. They loved it. They went to the Japanese gardens. They went to the Rose Test Garden. They went to the Rhododendron Garden. There are so many gardens here, it's fuckdiculous.
Were there any rose gardens, considering rose...
Yeah, it's the Rose City? Test Garden. It's where they make all the hybrids, actually.
Oh, so they're experimental roses.
Yes.
So
and it looks like...
it's like James Bond in Q, where there's like roses with flamethrowers in them. And
have you been here? Because you're spot on. It kind of looks like Wonderland, so I kind of want to get a bunch of friends dressed up like Alice in Wonderland characters and just run around there one day.
You probably know people with huge hats like that.
Oh, yeah. This is Portland.
And there's got to be some furries in Portland with bunny suits and pocket watches.
Probably.
Yeah.
I'm sure I can find somebody very easily.
Yeah, there's Craigslist.
It'd be a weird thing to say. You know, I don't want to have sex with you. I just want you to run around the garden for a little while so I could take some pictures.
What you do after that...
What you do after that, fine.
Your business.
I'm going to have a signed affidavit from you saying that I have nothing to do with why you're being arrested at the Rose Test Garden. So anyways, I get home from work one day, and my dad was like, how would you like to go away this weekend? And I went, sure. Where do you want to go? He was like, well, we wanted to see the coast, and we wanted to do things like that, so let's go to Astoria. And I went,
Queens?
Can we? Astoria is where they filmed Goonies. You wouldn't know that because you don't like the Goonies.
No.
So we went to a bunch of vineyards, obviously, because it's my family. Went to a bunch of vineyards, drove up the coast, stopped at Cannon Beach, and took a look at Haystack Rock, took some pictures, and then continued upward to Astoria. Now, while we're driving, my phone is pretty wonky, so I turn it off, and then I try to turn it on, and it says that I needed to plug it in somewhere. Now, it was 80% battery. So we get to Astoria, go to a brewery, because it's my family, and we get to the hotel, which is like right underneath a bridge, and if you look at my Facebook cover photo, that's the view from the window. And plug in my phone, and my phone says that it needs to be rebooted. Luckily, I brought my computer, so I try rebooting it, and it says that there is a dreadful error. Okay. Now, I had just upgraded to iOS 6 for the iPhone.
Mm-hmm.
Terrible idea. It crashed my phone and killed it.
You know, that is not the only version of that story I've heard.
From me?
No. I know... three people whose iPhones shit the bed with the new operating system. Two of them have bought the same phone as I have now.
Well, the following day when we got back, my dad was awesome enough to say, let's just go and get you fixed. Like, not me, but the phone. Because they do want to be grandparents at some point. So they brought me to the Apple store, and Apple guys were able to see me in about a half an hour, so my mom's playing this, like, word game on the iPad, which I think she loves. And they see my phone, they plug it in, and they're like, have you ever done a backup on your computer? So immediately, I feel like I am, like, my heart is being filled with shit.
It's a cooch kick.
Hardwick said it best. It felt like I was being fucked in the heart.
Yeah.
So I start having a panic attack in the middle of the Apple store. And they end up saying, okay, well, you need a new phone. And I said, there's absolutely no way to fix this. They said, no. So I paid $200 to get the same phone that I had, get home, and for 2 days, I wasn't getting any telephone calls. So I had to go back to the Apple store and get another brand new phone. Now, honestly, they handled it fantastically. I don't have any issues with them whatsoever. They were actually really cool about it because I showed up early. They gave me a bunch of stuff to do while I was waiting, but they switched it out. Now I have a phone that works, but then I realized that they didn't give me a new jack to plug it in. They didn't give me a new headset. And my headset, you can hear less out of the right ear than the left ear. So it's really strange at work putting it into my right ear and then having the left one blare at everybody else.
Yeah.
But my parents left, and then I went into work and they said that they weren't going to need me anymore. So I was
So you're
like,
like,
great,
oh, fuck. I just
I just
spent
dropped
$200.
$200 on a new phone, and now I don't have a job.
And we
But
just eaten all
luckily,
the groceries they showed up with.
true. I found a cucumber like 2 days ago.
Ooh.
Yeah, it was bad.
Well, you shouldn't have stuck it behind the couch.
No, it was in the crisper, and I don't put anything in there because I'm one person living in an apartment, so I don't use the entire refrigerator, which is kind of a waste of power, but whatever. So during the time that my parents were here, I also had an interview for a new job. Now, I couldn't start the new job until after I got back from Podfest, but they told me that they wanted me to be there. Awesome. And it was just like I had about 4 days in flux where I wasn't working, but I got to spend 2 full days with my parents before they left, and then my parents left a day before they flew out. So they went to Multnomah Falls and they drove up to a vineyard, obviously, because it's my
Because they're your
family,
family.
and stayed in Portland overnight and flew out.
Ooh.
So it was a very chill visit. There wasn't a lot on the docket for me, like there wasn't much in the way of expectations of hanging out with me. It sucked though, because I really wanted to spend more time with them. But the time that I did get to spend with them was fantastic.
Now, did you do Voodoo Donut with them?
Yes. Voodoo Donut is kind of a staple Portland thing
Every
that
time
whenever somebody comes to visit, you have to at least make a trip there.
we during the pre-gaming for Morrissey opened up our Voodoo Donut Rogue Brewery Bacon
The Bacon
Maple
Maple Ale.
Ale, and we had little poured out that entire bottle into like 10 different little solid tiny tasting glasses, and everyone at the party had a taste, the ones who were not vegans. It was mostly smoke.
Really?
Yeah, it was kind of disappointing. I wanted more of a salty, bacony, maple-y flavor to it, and all I got was smoke out of it.
To be perfectly honest, Voodoo Donuts, they're not that great.
They're just wacky.
They're just, yeah, they're, what you're doing is you're buying into
The
the
hipster
tourist
appeal.
factor of it.
Yeah.
It's not something that I would go to on my own. Like if I wanted a real Pacific Northwest donut, I'd go to Sesame Donut. I can't fucking say it. Sesame Donuts.
Sesame Donuts.
Yes. And they actually have a very sweet donut that is covered in sesame. It's quite delicious. Kind of tastes like the sesame balls that you would get at a sushi place,
Nice.
but in donut form. So,
So, new job.
new job. Well, I can't talk about that yet because we're going to take a break and then we're going to come back and we are going to share our various convention stories.
Stories. Okay, take a break, and we're going to load up on liquids.
Yeah, I think I might actually start drinking. I wasn't planning on it, but I'm feeling pretty festive.
All right, cool.
Anima Basiac.
Like you do.
Like I do.
I got trying to turn it up.
No, you can't. You're not going to be able to hear it because it's you singing.
Yeah. I'll get casting. I'll get the goosey. I'll get the new Garcia. I'll get goose.
Oh my god, this is like every J-pop song I've ever heard.
Chomping the geese. And the cat to the diggy beast.
The funny thing is, Apple is used so much here, and it is completely ineffective for the shit that people want to do with it. It's more like a status symbol. Like, oh, well, I use Apple. Well, fuck yourself in the face. Honestly, with the PC, I can do the same exact things. Oh, yeah, there are more viruses, but you know what? You only get them if you're a fucking idiot.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, use a computer condom, dickhead.
Yep.
So, let us talk about
conventions
and convention. We did one day at New York City Comic Con.
Sweet.
We went with Marissa and my wife, and we did a... we had planned on going to some panels, and we wanted to see the Firefly panel with everybody but Joss.
Holy crap.
He did do a videotape, so, you know, a video contribution.
Mm-hmm.
We ended up going to the Buffy Vampire Slayer thing, and it was put on, it was moderated by the Dark Horse Comics editor who does the Buffy line. So about 10 minutes into it, people in this packed theater started realizing that it was mostly about the comic books. So they started leaving. And as soon as people walked out, other people were like getting into their seats. They were letting people in. About 50 minutes after the last person had left because they fucked this comic thing, that's when Nicholas Brennan, who played Xander, showed up.
And
we're like, suck it, people! We stood in line forever to get into the Walking Dead panel.
Yep. Was Norm there?
Norm was there. Everybody was there. Kirkman, Andrew Lincoln, Hardwick was moderating the panel. We stood in line for 2 hours, and we were not going to get in, so we abandoned that. Because it's one of those things that, like in San Diego, where people camp.
Oh, yeah.
So the funny thing is they had these screens, and they were showing the current, you know, what was going on in the hall to everyone who was in line, but there was no audio. So we were watching people on a panel, and we were like, I think he just said Klingons. I'm not sure what he said. So we're trying to read lips. The one previous, one of the ones before Walking Dead, which is now full of people who have been there, like urinating into Mountain Dew bottles so they wouldn't have to give up their seats for hours. The panel is Chris Hardwick interviewing Barry Levinson, director Barry Levinson. That's all there is. And in the crowd, it has to be nobody who gives a shit about Barry Levinson or you know, maybe even doesn't even know who he is. And I thought, wow, that is a real shitty way to run the panels. So we ended up not seeing any of the big hall ones. We didn't see the Evil Dead one. We didn't see the Firefly one. We didn't see anything we actually went to New York to see. But we did get into the Fables panel. The comic book panels were pretty easy to get into, and they were cool.
I bet.
And then we went to Chuck Palahniuk was there, but we couldn't get close enough to hear him.
Oh. I know Vicky loves him.
We saw a bunch of people. We met a lot of artists. That was fun. You know, Vicky collects the vinyl collectible figures.
The Munnies or the Dunnies or.
Yeah, she found some new Dunnies, and Marissa found one too. There was an art show of different artists doing posters, and the theme was Wes Anderson films. So Vicky got a print of from Moonlight Kingdom, the latest one, and Marissa was trying to decide between a Steve Zissou Life Aquatic print or a Royal Tenenbaums, and she went with the Royal Tenenbaums. But I found the customizable toys. There was there's this graffiti artist who makes her own, like she has this character that she does as a graffiti artist, and she makes boards and t-shirts and things like that, but she started making the vinyl collectible dolls, just blank ones, and selling them. They're called Zookies, and I bought a Zookie to customize it, and I started working on Christmas present.
Nice.
Which I've done the sculpting on it. I just have to start painting.
Oh my god, I love it so much. Oh my god, I want to see it when it's done. What did you sculpt with?
I used this big block of clay that like a biopolymer clay that you mix together,
Right.
and then it hardens in a few hours, so you have to be on your toes about it.
Oh, that's fucking glorious.
So I'm excited about that, and I might do some other ones.
Does she sell them online?
Yes, I think it's Zukies.net, Zukie.
With an S at the end?
Yes.
Sweet. 'Cause I did a mod for Greg for the Reigning Monarchs,
Yeah.
which I will tell you about when we switch over to PodFest. But anything else from Comic-Con, or is it just swag you got?
We got a lot of cool stuff. I bought it was loud in
The vendor?
the artist alley. I was talking with an artist and I wanted to get this print. It was a print of so I thought, this is awesome. I need to get this print. And I misread the prices on it because the prices were listed by sizing. So I misread which was which. I gave him my card and he scanned it through his iPad and he told me how much it was and I couldn't hear him. I'm like, yeah, it's cool, whatever. And I end up paying over three times what I thought it was gonna cost.
Oh no.
But I would have been like, it was like it already went through. And I'm like, ah, so I just signed it. I'm like, and I was so very upset with myself about it. And I ended up carrying around this in a bag, and I'm like, in a foul mood.
You just wanted to destroy it?
And then we started waiting at the waiting in line for 2 hours, moving at a purely molecular level. And I'm like, you know, I am just gonna be unhappy with myself this entire day if I don't just shut up and get over it.
True.
Then I thought, well, you know what? I was going to get something cool for Jackie and Nick for their anniversary, which was in a couple of days, and I was going to get that here. Why don't I get this framed and give it to them since they both are huge fans of. And also, then I won't have to look at it, and every time I pass by it in the house, go, oh, I spent too much money on you and I'm angry.
So
So
instead, whenever you go to visit Jackie and Nick, you can
I
just
say,
stare at it and go, all right.
no, I can say that was a gift that they enjoyed. And look, it's very nice. It looks very nice on their wall. So that's how I solved that problem. And also I said, hey, do you want to just ditch this line thing? We're not going to get it. Let's go do something fun.
It's disheartening, though. I
They
mean,
were
you
both
spend
fun.
as much money as you do to go to the convention, and then on top of it, people are there and they're just saving seats for the next thing.
Right. Now, if I really said, oh my God, Barry Levinson's going to be there, I really want to see Barry Levinson, I would have been livid that no one was caring what he was saying.
One of my biggest pet peeves with Comic-Con and the way that they do things is that they allow people to just stay.
I think they should be ticketed. Like, they should have
Absolutely. Like,
when
you
you.
know how fucking
Gen Con does it.
Gen Con,
With
absolutely.
all their free events, their free seminars and stuff, they have. You can get the tickets, you have to order them, you have to register for them, and then you have a certain number of like if you haven't showed up within a certain amount of time after the event starts, they let people in.
I'm of the mindset that, you know what, people at Comic-Con, they're there to spend money, which
We did.
sucks, but is also awesome. What Comic-Con needs to do is they need to allow you, as soon as you buy your tickets for Comic-Con for the whole weekend, they should allow you to go pick the panels that you want to go to and then send you a free certificate for each one. Now, if someone shows up at the door to see something and they have space, that should be
Let them in.
$2 a ticket because that would yield them more money, especially if somebody signs up for something for free and doesn't show up. That's two additional dollars in their pocket to put another person into that panel. But they should not allow people to camp out. I'm just saying.
Just saying, it's the truth.
Now, I had a bit of a different experience with the convention that I went to.
The LA Pod Fest, Podcast Festival.
Yes. So the Los Angeles Podcast Festival was the 12th to the 14th in October. I did a Thursday to Monday travel thing. So it was Friday to Sunday for the shows. Thursday, I got groped by TSA. In addition to getting pulled aside and having my bag swabbed, apparently an adult dressed with a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle backpack, maybe it's a warning sign, who knows?
So they swabbed your, they
Yeah, they
what
swabbed the inside of my shell.
and then they checked your bag.
You cheeky monkey. After about an hour waiting in line for TSA, I mean, I got there early, whatever. I was wasting time until I got to the airport, so I figured, just get to the airport, waste time there. At least then I know that I'm going to be on my flight. So I get there, and immediately the first thing that I think is, I need a drink because I've just been groped and my things have just been pilfered through. I mean, people didn't take anything or anything like that, but it
But
was
they
just
put their
like,
grubby little fingers on them.
that's fine. I had the time for them to be able to do that. Had I been on a time constraint, I would have been livid. I would have been so angry. So I get into the first leg of the flight. I didn't realize that that there was a layover because it was only about a 15-minute layover in San Jose. So I fly to San Jose, and on the first leg of the trip, the guy sitting next to me is sick, like Typhoid Mary sick, like coughing. He was a great gentleman about it. He was wearing a three-piece suit. He looked very dapper, and whenever he had to cough, he would basically pull his jacket over his face. But immediately I thought, I am sitting next to patient zero. I am fucked. I end up getting to Los Angeles later than expected. I don't remember why, but it was later than expected. And then I go to get my bag. I get my bag from baggage claim. And then I go to get my car. So the rental place that I went to, I don't even remember the name of the rental place, but I get there. There are four people working, and there is a line to the door of people waiting to get rental cars. It's 15 to midnight, and I'm standing in line for 45 fucking minutes to get a car. And by the time I get there, I get to the lady, and she's very apologetic. She's like, "I'm so sorry about the wait." And I said, "It's not your fault. Every person here had a reservation. Your boss
Should
fucked
have
up.
had the people on here.
Your boss knew how many people were coming in, what time, and how to schedule their load. They fucked up." She was very smiley and happy about that afterwards because I was nice to her, but I was kind of pissed at the way that the situation rolled. So I get the car, and then I have to drive to Santa Monica immediately, pass by the hotel. So I have to do a U-turn, and then I have to do another U-turn because there's a stupid
Divided
fucking barrier.
highway. Yep.
And then the valet guy takes my car. Now, I had been told the Thursday before arrival that valet was free. When I said that I was coming in for the convention, they said valet was free. So they zooked my car. I ran into a bunch of people that I knew, and they waited up for me. Like, they made it a point to stay up and wait for me, which kind of made me tear up a little. They brought me up to the room because I was sharing a room with four other people because it was fucking expensive to stay there. For 4 days, it was like $1,200.
Wow.
And that's for a two-bed on a regular level, like not penthouse, nothing out of the ordinary, but it's Santa Monica, so things are pretty spendy. And you had to use your card to use the elevator, which was fucking terrible when you're hammered. But there's more to that story. So get upstairs and we all pass out. Well, I mean, they all pass out. I'm obviously an insomniac. Friday morning, I end up waking up at 4 o'clock in the morning. Everyone else is sleeping. Everyone else is like happily snoring and just fucking lovely. It was a gorgeous thing to listen to for about 15 minutes. And then I went, "No one is going to get up. I need to get out of here." Grabbed my cell phone, grabbed my Nook, went downstairs, and I spent 2 hours in the lobby, maybe more, just waiting for somebody to wake up. So I'm checking Facebook, and then eventually I get a message on Facebook that's like, "Come up to bed," from Dana, my friend that lives in Portland. She actually was able to go as well. Go upstairs, get everything ready, and then I immediately apologize to everybody. I was like, "I have something that I need to do today."
Then you farted up the place.
Yep. That's well.
That's what you had to do.
That's what you need to do.
Yeah.
So we all took showers, and then we went to this like omelet place and met up with another friend who had just moved to LA from Australia, and she is just lovely. Her name is Alex, and she announced that she had time at an open mic night that night. And so we tend to, well, I was like, I definitely want to go. So I made plans to go with another person, and then I had to leave to go do something else. I don't know if I should talk about this yet, but I went down to Studio City to record an episode of Mental Illness Happy Hour with Paul Gilmartin.
So when is that happening?
I don't know. I don't know if it's ever going to happen, but it was a great experience, and we had coffee prior to recording, and then we recorded for about an hour. And then afterwards, I felt drained emotionally. And it wasn't like there's nothing negative towards Paul or anything like that. It was a very good experience. It was just very, very hard to admit some things, which will be on that podcast if it ever airs.
When you listen to that podcast, it does get raw for people. It's a really real podcast.
I don't like crying in front of people.
Yeah.
I was snot bubbling crying in front of Paul Gilmartin. I was like, this is weird. I mean, we've known each other for about 45 minutes. Yeah, it was rough. So I'm driving back and I get stuck in massive traffic. Now, a ride that would have taken me 15 minutes had gone by and I hadn't even passed one exit. It was the day that the Challenger
the Endeavor, yes.
Oh, yeah, the Endeavor. Yeah, it was fucking terrible. I keep looking at the clock and people are sending me text messages like, where are you? Are you ready to go to see Alex? And I'm emotionally drained. I'm stuck in traffic and I'm just shaking at this point. I'm shaking with anger. I'm shaking because I'm terrified that I said something that's going to come back and bite me in the ass. I was terrified about the things that I admitted. And I was just like, it felt like the beginning of a panic attack, but I was able to stave it off. I ended up sending a message. I was like, I'm so sorry. I am not going to be there in time to pick anybody up. I'm not even close to the area to go see her. At this point, I just kind of want to take a shower and curl up in a ball and cry for a little bit. That's pretty much all I can do. So I got back to the hotel, finally. Valley took my car, and I went... You know, it's strange that Valet is free for this. And then I look up, and the guy's like, yeah, but Valet isn't free. And I went, oh, no, 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 no. I was told from the front desk over the phone that since I was coming in for the podcast festival, Valet was free. So he was like, well, we'll work something out. Needless to say, long story short, I got Valet for free.
Oh.
Because I am very much my father's daughter. And I would have complained until they took it off.
And you also had a case of wine.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, no, actually, I showed up with a bunch of booze. I was crying in a package store, picking up booze to bring back so that we weren't spending astronomical prices. Two fingers of scotch, $28.
Believable, yep.
When I could have just spent $75, got some Auvin, and fucking sent it home with Coleman, my friend that lives in L.A. So I get back, and at that point, everyone's able to sign in for the festival. So I go sign in, and since I signed up to do volunteer work, they hand me an all-access pass. Now, there was a VIP event for people that chipped into the Kickstarter.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't have the money to do that, but because I had all access pass, I went there, walked around for a bit, had some scotch, and then went, okay, I want to go up to the room for a little bit. People, my roommates knew what was going on, and they knew where I was going. So they were like, how was it? How was everything? And I was like, it's still really raw. I don't quite know how I feel about it. I mean, I hate to admit it, but I was having second thoughts. And it was completely on me because I have since listened to it and it's not as terrible as I thought it was going to be. Like, listening to it, there are a lot of things that, yeah, I'm not proud of. But the way that the conversation went, the interaction between Paul and I'm totally for it being aired if it ever airs. Because he basically sent it to me and said, if you don't want me to post this, just let me know.
Oh, so he gives you a copy of the file first, so...
Yes. Yep, he sent me a downloadable file to listen to it, and it was really sweet of him, because he was like, if there's anything that you don't like about this or anything like that, I'd be willing to work with you on it, or we can just scrap it all together. And I was like, no, it's actually not as bad as I thought it was. So listening to it made it better. I keep getting sidetracked. I'm walking through and like I see Will Anderson. Like, yay, it's OPHOP. Graham Elwood stopped by and he was like, how's it going? He's like, I'm Graham. And he looks at my volunteer badge and he's like, oh, thank you so much. What are you guys doing? Or what are you doing? And I was like, oh, I'm going to be your stage manager tomorrow. And he went, sweet. Oh, wait. Yeah. I think that's how it worked out. Or was it? I said, I'm going to be your stage manager at some point. Maybe that was Sunday? Yeah, it was Sunday. Because there's a long story that goes along with it. I'm so sorry that I'm taking up all of this time. So much shit happened. So I was like, you know what, I'm just going to go take a shower. So I went, took a shower, and I felt heaps better. I felt so great. I was like, it would behoove me to go to a show tonight and just laugh it out. So I went to Scarborough. And I get up there, and I had sent my friends a text message. I was like, you know, I'm feeling a lot better. Please save me a seat. I get up there, no one got the text message. So all the seats were taken next to all of my friends.
Yeah.
And they were very apologetic. And I was like, well, fuck you guys. I look over, Will Anderson is sitting by himself. I was like, I'm going to watch this with Will. So I walk over, and I'm like, hey, you might not remember me. I was at the first Starfish Circus. I was dressed like a griffin tamer, and he was like, oh my God, how are you? I haven't seen you in a year. And I was like, good. So he was really, really sweet and lovely. And he leans in, and he's like, I apologize ahead of time. I don't know anything about American sports. And I went, well, I don't know anything about sports. So
Of
you're
any
no good.
country.
He was high as shit, but he has a weed card, so it was legal. So we're laughing hysterically during Scarborough and afterwards, he was kind enough to pose with Gladys for Joe.
Very nice.
I got a phone call. And the phone call was from one of the guys that ran the Podfest. Podfest is run by four people. There's Dave Anthony, there's Chris Mancini, there's Graham Elwood, and then there's Andy Wood. Now, Andy called me and he said, I'm so sorry to bother you. Are you doing anything right now? And I was like, no, we just finished up a panel. And he said, can you come and work? So immediately I was like, I switched to event mode. And
Yeah.
I went, yeah, what do you need? So he had me like checking in people for performers and stuff like that on Friday night. And the rest of my night up till midnight was spent sitting in a room. Just checking people, random people in, giving people VIP badges and stuff, which was okay. My friends kept walking by and like coming in with drinks, and I'm like, damn it.
They didn't give you any drinks?
No, they let me run out for a cigarette and then I'd come back with a drink that I'd made from my hotel room. And they were cool about it, so I didn't give a shit. So I was making friends and taking names, and that was Friday night. Shit, we should probably take a break, and then I'll come into Saturday night and Sunday.
Okay.
You cool with that?
Sure.
I'm so sorry that I'm usurping all of this time. Not really.
I'll steal all the next one.
Okay.
Okay.
Do you have your headphones in?
I do.
Sweet. All right, let's just get into it. So Saturday rolls around, and I learned that the best way, being an insomniac, to actually not disturb anyone is to go to bed at like 5 or 6 o'clock in the morning, so that when everybody else gets up at 8, then you can get up with them and not be a nuisance. So got up on Saturday because I thought that I was working the door for one of the convention rooms, and I brought my ukulele that I bought specifically for the show, or for this weekend. I bought a white ukulele, and I brought a bunch of Sharpies just so that I could have people sign it. I will show you it. Actually, you know, I'll show you it now.
I've seen pictures.
It is signed all over.
And was it Graham Elwood? Who was it who stole my bit who was trying to eat it?
No, it was Chris Gore.
Chris Gore tried to eat it.
He did.
I've always considered myself, I think that I'm more, I'm like a,
That's, Todd Glass, signed Happy Birthday. So, yeah, I brought around a blank ukulele for people to sign, and the very first door that I was working on was Super Ego.
Fun.
I know. Well, the best part about Super Ego is that the entire room was packed, and I mean, it was club-style seating. Well, not club-style seating, but it was essentially like a small comedy club. Maximum occupancy was like 280. And Super Ego had a stage set up, they had a table, and they had a Mac open. And then they had stand-up mics. I was standing outside after everybody else had gone in and stuff like that, and here come five men in lab coats. And I was just like, oh, squee, lovely. So it was the Super Ego guys. It was Mark McConville, Jeremy Carter, and Matt Gourley. And then their special guests were Paul F. Tompkins and Colin Hanks. So Matt, Mark, his name is Mark, right? Mark McConville? Yes. Mm-hmm. I have to say the whole thing in order for it to make sense to me. And Jeremy. They all went in, and they started doing their thing. And Colin and Paul were standing outside waiting to be, like, drawn into the situation.
Yes.
And I look over, and Colin Hanks is just, like, leaning in so far. Like, this is Paul. Paul is standing, and then Colin is basically just looming over him like a creepy sidekick that you'd be like, Igor! And you'd hear, yes, right next to your ear. So I look over and I go, that's not creepy at all. And they both started laughing. And the best part is they were making fun of each other and like cracking jokes and trying to make each other laugh before they even got on stage. So you could tell that these people love working with each other. So after all of that, I come to find out that not only was I doing the door, I was stage manager. So before they got on, I asked if they needed me to keep track of time for them, and then they got on. Everything was pretty much like they had a certain amount of time, and they actually had a counter on their laptop, basically paying attention to it. It was hysterically funny. It was so much fun, and they were just so wonderful, and it was amazing seeing all of these people show up at fucking, what was it? Yeah, it was either 10 or 11 o'clock in the morning, and the room was full. It was packed. It was packed to the point that there were people outside watching. There were people standing along the wall, and I mean, I'm sitting back with a sound guy, and we're just marveling at how wonderful it was. And then somebody ended up like leaving so that they could go somewhere else because everything was very like staggered. So you had something starting at 10, something starting at 10:30, something starting at 11, so on and so forth. And it was cool because they left from the front, so I immediately like ran up and grabbed the seat up front, and I'm watching them, and oh, it was so great. And then they finished, and everyone like shuffled out for the next show, and I had, because I was doing stage managing for the whole day, I had my ukulele in hand, I had a Sharpie in hand, and I was so lucky because Mark, Jeremy, and Matt came in, and I was like, can you please sign my ukulele? So the Super Ego was the first people to sign my ukulele. Colin Hanks ended up signing it as well. I could not find Paul F. Tompkins for the life of me because he was passed around
podcast
more.
He was the pod slut of the weekend.
He was. He was whoring it up. But, I mean, I think he was only there for Saturday. But he was doing a bunch of different podcasts, and it was pretty awesome. So after that, after Super Ego, I think was Risk. Yes.
Kevin Allison?
Yes. Oh, my God. All right, here's the thing. I didn't know who Kevin Allison was. No, actually, I know who Kevin Allison is.
Right.
When I met him, I was like, he looks really familiar. He's so sweet. He's so wonderful. And, like, he and I are chatting, and I asked him if he wanted me to give him a time frame. And he's like, no, what this podcast is, he's like, have you ever heard the podcast before? I'm like, I'm so sorry, I haven't. But it sounds incredibly amazing. And so he told me a little bit about it, and what they do is they tell stories. And so he keeps track of the time when other people are up on stage telling a story. So Andy Dick, actually, you know what? I'm gonna skip that until the end of this. Risk was amazing. It was fucking unbelievable. If you are not subscribed to it, just
do
subscribe.
So.
It's stories that are heartfelt, sometimes really fucking creepy. All life experiences, and my favorite one was from Aubrey O'Day, and she was in that Making the Band thing with Puff Daddy, like the Danity Kane type thing with the girls that were like forming a band. I know. I don't really know her that well, but her story was one of the most disgusting and redeeming of stories that I've ever fucking heard. The topic was unexpected, and I was unexpectedly addicted afterwards. Listening to people talk, it was just amazing. And I was keeping track of time, and then I came to find out that Andy Dick was going to be the last speaker. Now, Andy Dick requested to be in the PodFest. So they offered him...
I heard part of this story on, I think, Walking the Room.
Yep.
Yes.
Yeah, they offered him an earlier thing on Sunday when, if no one showed up, great. Well, he was like, no, I want the ballroom, and I want it in the middle of the day because apparently popular. No. So we didn't think he was showing up because... his publicist or whatever assistant sent a note saying, yeah, he's not going to do PodFest. So he ends up coming to PodFest to do Kevin Allison's storytelling show. He shows up, like, right before he's supposed to, walk on stage. And then, instead of being in it and ready, he decides that he needs to take a 10-minute shit. So Kevin Allison has to go back up, and he fucking improvs, or he pulls a story out of his brain like that and tells a story for 10 minutes. So then Andy comes up, and he brings this dude that just is playing a guitar. Don't know why. Really had nothing to do with the story except Andy liked hitting on him while he was talking. He was just like, you're so beautiful. Fuck you. So he's telling the story, and the story is something you can tell was not prepared at all. He was just like, oh, I'll talk about this. So he decided to talk about an ex-girlfriend, and apparently an ex-girlfriend that left him for... He never actually said the guy's name. He was like, that man that was in The Fly. So it could have been anybody. He was like... He was also a scientist in Jurassic Park. And I'm just sitting there going...
That narrows it down.
Come on. So he's telling a story about Jeff Goldblum and how he wanted his ex-girlfriend back, and he was so angry at Jeff Goldblum that he found out where he lived and threw a stick of dynamite in his pool. And I'm sitting there going, isn't there a motherfucking... There's no statute of limitations in admitting a crime...
in exploding things.
That causes property damage, isn't there? Like, I don't think there's a statute of limitations. There might be, but...
It
I mean, that's
probably depends on the state.
Up. That, and it was probably... Like, statute of limitations is like 7 to 10 years, right?
Depends on the state and the crime.
Okay. So he's telling the story, and it's just snowballing into this terrible anecdote. And I'm standing in the back going like this. Like, running my hand around, like, wrap it up. And Kevin looks at me, and he's like, yep. And he's pointing to his watch that it doesn't exist on his hand, but he's just like, I need, you know, pay attention to your time. You need to end it. So he ended it anticlimactically, and there was this kind of like everyone was really happy about the stories that had been told prior. So, I mean, nobody left there unhappy. It was just like the clapping at the very end should have been like really great, like people standing up going, yeah, this was wonderful. It was just like,
yeah, this is
like
over.
Clapping.
Yeah.
So afterwards, I'm cleaning up, and I walk out with my ukulele to have a couple of people sign. And Andy Dick looks at me expectantly, like I wanted him to sign it. And I just went, meh, and walked straight by him. So that was that. And then I was told that I had free time. So I went outside for a cigarette, and then in drives Greg. So Greg steps out of his checkerboard car. He has a checkerboard top Mini Cooper. Motherfucker. How awesome is that? He steps out. Angelo, the guy that makes the shirts for Walking the Room, steps out. And Alex, the girl from Australia, steps out. So I offer to get them all signed in really quick, walk in as I'm checking them into the program on my phone, hand them all their passes and stuff like that. And then I went up to the room and grabbed Greg's gift, because you know that I modified that Fumi into a reigning monarch's lion. So I gave it to him, and I was like, happy belated birthday. And so he opens it up, and he's like, oh, my God, look at the detail. Because I had, like, the little reigning monarch's, what is it called, that you put on your armband, I guess?
Yeah.
And then... they have this like checkerboard that has red and blue on it. So I had the checkerboard with the red and blue like on Converse sneakers that I added on. And he was like, this is so great. It's going to go up and it's going to go in the closet. And I was like, yay. And so he grabs me and he's like, what are you doing right now? And I went, nothing. He was like, you're going to watch Janet with me. So he pulls me in to watch the JV club. And Lizzie Kaplan wasn't it? And it was so much fun listening to them get to know each other. They had never met before. And about an hour in, I was like, okay, I need to get changed for the evening. Go upstairs, take a shower. And then Walking the Room happened, and it was glorious. And then after Walking the Room, we had to go to a high school for Doug Loves Movies and the comedy show. So for 3.5 hours, we were sitting in high school style seating. And I mean, I hate to make this distinction, but some people that listen to podcasts have larger bottoms. So we were all really, really close, and luckily no one smelled, so that was good.
Which was different than yes. New York Comic Con.
Right. And Doug Loves Movies was a complete clusterfuck. I don't know if you listened to it.
I have. I enjoyed your back, because you did send me an email of quick
of apology.
But it was entertaining. It was very clusterfucky, but very entertaining.
Well, the problem was there was no monitors up front, so they weren't able to hear the conversations. I mean, in order to hear the other person, you have to actually talk at them. So for a while, they were standing in a circle, just talking at each other, but they were all talking at the same time, so and they couldn't tell anyone else was talking. So they didn't really talk about movies, and then the Leonard Maltin game was brought up, but then Dave Anthony decided to pick a baby out of the audience as his name tag. And so he was holding a baby for a half an hour, which just made my ovaries, like, twitch. I was like, I need to have a baby. Holy crap. It was so freaking adorable. And the baby was, like, calm, serene, and lovely, and just started licking the microphone occasionally. Zach Galifianakis decided to do very little speaking. So he walked out. He's holding the microphone up, and he's just looking around, pleased. And then Dave, of course, starts making fun of him, because that's what Dave Anthony does. And so he decides to leave. So he grabs all of the prizes for the Leonard Maltin game, and then he grabs everything that's on the table, and he leaves. And he comes back with an oversized American flag. And he's just standing there saluting. It was pretty amazing. And it made me laugh so hard. The only thing that I didn't really like with the way that they did the stuff at the high school was that they didn't have an intermission in between Doug Loves Movies and the comedy show. The comedy show was about, like, 10 solid minutes from different performers that were there over the weekend. It was opened with Andy Wood, who is fucking hysterical. Like, get on that if you can. If you can find anything about him, like if you can find any of his YouTube stuff, do it. He's hysterical. And he's one of the ones that started the PodFest. The last person up was Graham Elwood, and he brought back a character that he hadn't played for 3 years. It was a Lieutenant Stryker. So he did a bunch of beat cop poetry. And it made me laugh so hard. After that, it was just like people mulling around, and we left the high school, went back to the hotel, proceeded to party until about 4 o'clock in the morning. I had too much to drink, so I spent an hour between 4:30 and 5:30 walking the halls going, don't be drunk, don't be drunk, don't be drunk, don't be drunk. By the time I had sobered up, I was able to get a couple of hours of sleep. And then I got up for Sunday. Oh my God, this feels like the longest story ever. I'm so sorry. All right. I'm trying to, like, I'll condense Sunday. Sunday I got up. And I was doing stage managing for Todd Glass. Todd Glass had a laundry list of things that he wanted done because it's Todd motherfucking Glass. And you know what? Gotta respect that. He was one of the only people that actually required the stage manager to do something the whole weekend. So I had a blast working with him. Like, he came in at 8 o'clock in the morning, and he turned the conference room into a nightclub. I mean, he still had the seating the way that it was meant for the people that were going to be in it, but he put gels on the lights, he put his red curtain in the background, he had a band, he had a trumpeter and a drummer, and he had a projector where he was, like, projecting Tom Jones singing, and it was great because he was kind of like one of the reasons why the Leonard Maltin game didn't happen, because he would just start doing bits right in the middle of Doug Loves Movies. So Doug and Graham and Dave did the Todd Glass interruption. So the Todd Glass live at LA PodFest, PodFest is the Todd Glass interruption. And it cracked me up. And the fact is, he was actually really great about it. He was very gracious about it, even though it kind of like stepped on his dick a little. I really, it was fucking wonderful. And every time something great happened, I was like, why isn't Seth here?
Oh, I wish I could have gone.
I know.
I wish they'd done a New York podcast festival.
But then I wouldn't have been able to go.
That's true.
Like, honestly, the reason why I was able to go is because my flight with all the Southwest points that I had was $7.50.
Well, that's not bad.
No, that's not bad at all. Oh, and let's see, more Sunday. What else was Sunday? Oh, Sunday, I got to hear Lynette Carolla's show. Her show is For Crying Out Loud. It's a parenting show. Absolutely hysterical. Like, I'm not a fan of Adam Carolla. People know I'm not a fan of Adam Carolla. His wife is fucking hysterical. Who knew a woman could be funny?
Someone has to be funny in that household.
But I also ran into Chris Gore, who does Podcrash, and he wants to do Memoirs of the Gamer.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Excellent.
And then while he and I were talking, he's like, hold on, my friend here plays the ukulele. Can I have him play something? So he grabs my ukulele, hands it to somebody, and then I like pull out my camera because I was just like, oh, you know what, it's getting used. I might as well like press play and hear what's going on. I look over and Wayne motherfucking Fetterman is playing my goddamn ukulele.
The non-Hawaiian king of the ukulele.
Yes. I was like, I didn't even know he was going to be there that weekend, but he did that. And then there were more things. Comedy Film Nerds was on Sunday, and Comedy Film Nerds, I was the very last question when they took questions, so I had them do a DOS reboot in honor of you.
Thank you.
I had them cast My Dinner with Andre. Just wait until you hear them say. It's totally worth it. I think you have to pay to hear that episode, but it's worth it.
Yes.
I mean, the whole thing anyways, because like Allison Rosen was on it and Steve Agee was on it. But as Sunday came to a close, there was a party and we wanted to do a group photo. So we had a bunch of people together and then we just kept summoning people. So it kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and there is this picture that looks like a class of 2012 picture of just everyone going, yeah, we did it. It's fucking amazing. I think Grandma Wood actually took his pants off a little for that. Monday we all woke up and we were a little sad because people were leaving at different times. So we hugged, we had breakfast, and cried a little. Well, they cried a little bit. I apparently am void of emotion, unless I'm crying on a podcast. But I ended up leaving, and I went to Beverly Hills because I wanted to go to a cupcake ATM.
That's the ATM shaped like a cupcake, or an ATM that gives you cupcakes instead of money?
The second. It is a machine that you use a touch screen, and it sings at you while you're doing it, and the song is, I love sprinkles, yes I do, yes I do, the best cupcakes in the world. And it continues going over and over and over again. So you finally, you pick the cupcake that you want, and then it shows you video as it like suctions the box, and it brings it to you, and then it just like, it does the reveal. And it's on the side of the building. It's fucking adorable. I ended up getting a banana cupcake and brought it with me to the airport. I was at the airport way too early, but I ate the cupcake and sniffled a little bit. And wrote pretty much my review of the entire weekend while I was just waiting for my flight home. Got home and then started work.
Very nice.
So I'm guessing we should probably cut this as an episode, and then we'll start up, because there's so much more that we need to talk about.
There is. Let's cut it and then do what you need to do and run.
Okay, well, you are Rev Hooligan X on Twitter.
No X, just Rev Hooligan.
Oh, Rev Hooligan on Twitter. My apologies.
That's why you haven't been getting my tweets.
It's true. I am Cranial Spasm on Twitter. You can find Seth at Fozwar.com. You can find me and this podcast at cranialspasm.com. We are Whiskey on Sunday, even though we were drinking wine. And we will see you
At the
next week.
movies. Okay. Bye-bye.
We got a lot done so far.
Okay, are you crossing off the stuff you don't need?
Yep, we did Morrissey, Comic-Con, Papas. Oh, did I tell you I got a new tattoo? I got a tramp stamp.
No, I saw it. I saw a picture of it. You sent it to me.
Yeah,
Because
it's this.
you had extra, yeah. You had extra
I had extra money
extra
from
pod
the
money. Did you send it
process.
to to the guys yet?
Oh yeah, Greg loves it.
Yeah.
Well, I got a little negative feedback about it. Like some
From
people on Twitter didn't like it. They're like, ugh, who would do something? Like, who would get a tattoo as something that they love? And so I was like, fuck yourself in the face. So I wrote a note on Hot Dog Thunderdome called Why I Noped.
Yeah.
And Greg fucking loved it. Here, I will read it to you because I know that you don't have a Hot Dog Thunderdome account. And why should I encourage people to have Hot Dog Thunderdome accounts? Because I.
I did actually sign up for an account and then probably forgot that I had one.
Yeah.
And I don't remember how to what it is, what the name of
Heck.
it is, or
I could probably find it. I do have moderator privileges. Okay. Surprisingly, the outpouring of support from both the tattoo parlor and my friends, Cuddlers, both has been loud and boisterous. Also, a bit surprising, I have gotten some negative comments from Cuddlers, not to be named, in regards to getting the Nope Shield etched on my skin. While I do not have to justify any of my actions, I am choosing to. Please note, Nope may not mean this to Dave and Greg, but it means this to me. Nope is a reminder of me to embrace something that I consider or considered a total failure. It will most likely not come as a surprise to you, but I have dealt with a ton of rejection in my life. Romantic interests, agents, friends, and many anonymous people on the internet have tried to tear me down. In actuality, so many of them have. I don't feel that way about you. You're not what we're looking for. Who is this ugly bitch talking to readers like they're friends? You're not pretty enough for Broadway. A life of littered nope decorates the scrapbook of my memories. However, nope is also incredibly liberating when you think about it. Being a failure at some things isn't terrible. I'm a three-time failure at suicide. Without that nope, I wouldn't be here. Somehow, in the fucked up human brain, we can have thousands of people tell us they love us, but one person says nope, and everything is ruined forever. Does it discount the love of the masses before it? For that moment, it can. Pandora's box was stuffed to the brim with the nasties, and when it was opened, they burst forth and caused immense guilt for the liberator. However, the only thing that stuck around was hope. Hope is a powerful thing. Hope allows you the opportunity to embrace and endure the fail because it inflates your sense of self. Yes, hope is the bumpers at bowling that I need in order to score more than a two. Luckily, I do happen to have a bit of narcissism. It has pulled me through the darkness and showed me the light. I am positively thrilled that I finally realized that I can use nope to my advantage. Oh, you don't want to fund my book? Well, fuck you. I'm going to write it anyways. I'm going to nope you right back. What's that? You don't like my voice? Well, you can't stop the music. Fuck, I can't stop it either. Nope is a four-letter word that holds a lot of influence. Nope is a constant reminder that loving what you do or doing what you love is worth being stubborn for. You can't nope me out of doing what I love. I'm going to nope you right fucking back. Embrace your nope. Let it fuel you to make good things. In a world where everything is available at the tip of your fingers, there has to be a way to do what you love. Unless it's snuff films. Then you can fuck right off.
But I love the snuff films! I like the tag. You're like, serious, serious, serious. Fuck you, serious, serious, serious. Snuff films. It's very much like the show.
Yep.
So what did you get from that? Did you...
Oh, I got a bunch of comments, like, the tattoo is badass, love it, I'm getting it on my cock. if nothing
wait,
else,
wait.
Direction to the other sexual partner.
Are you sure he was going to get it on his cock, or he meant that he was wanted to get your tattoo on his cock?
I don't know.
Because it is a pretty good placement for that.
Well, there you go again, showing us how beautiful you are. It was from Wendy. She's the woman that I pretended was my wife in New York.
Ah.
Because she kept getting hit on. Oh, Greg commented, nope, I'm right back, love it, and the tattoo is a masterwork. Awesome. So yeah, that was my little grandstanding soapbox moment. Oh, I talked about suicide with Gil Martin.
Yeah.
Like the types. What I did.
So I'm going to learn stuff about you from that I haven't heard.
Yeah. You're going to learn a lot that I don't share with anybody. I was just like, fuck it. I'm here for a reason. I might as well. All right. So as of right now, we have only crossed off 4 things on this list. So we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 5 more for me. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 5 more for you.
And I came up with some more, too.
And then Thanksgiving and Christmas. And you came up with more?
Yeah. I think that we should... what are we doing next Sunday?
I am free next Sunday.
Let me double-check my Sunday.
I thought that you weren't, which is why I didn't schedule it.
Oh, I just checked my Facebook.
Jeez.
Okay, so while we're still doing stuff that's not going on the air, hold on a second.
Oh, hold on. We are still on the air, technically.
Oh. Are we going to stop and then restart, or...?
Yeah, let's do that.
Okay.
All right, so I'm going to stop this, and I'll start another one, and then I will let you know when we start broadcasting.
Okay, cool.